this is Angels broadcaster Trent Rush, and you're listening to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now here's your host, my guy, Taylor Blake Ward.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now brought to you by Built Bar, you're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. It's great to have you on board for this Thursday edition of Locked On Angels Fan Mailbag Day. We've been moving the fan mailbag around quite a bit. This is the first time I've done the mailbag in about 3 weeks or so. So good to be back and doing this. If you're unfamiliar with this, we send out a tweet on Monday nights from my own personal Twitter, at Taylor Blake Ward, saying, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight. Best ones make the show. And this week I said later in the week, so I was a little honest. Usually it's on Wednesdays. Also, you can email your questions to the show by sending them to TaylorBlakeWard@yahoo.com. As a reminder, you can download today's show or subscribe to Locked On Angels via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcasting outlet you're using to listen to today's show. We've got 14 of your questions coming your way, and we're going to start with this one from Job Ang at Job Alex Ang. He says, which other five players would you or do you expect will be added to the 60-man? Also, do you expect the Angels to piggyback starters in the same game? So I'll start with that second part. I think a lot of teams may piggyback starters to start the year. I think you got, 3 weeks of spring training 2.0 or whatever the heck you want to call it, summer camp. So I think a lot of teams are probably going to piggyback some starters just at the start of the year, try and get them extended as we go, get them a little bit quicker extension. But I don't know if, I can't specify the Angels here, but I think a lot of teams may do that for just a week or two into the season. As for the other five players added to the 60-man, this question was asked before Reed Detmers was officially signed and officially added to the 60-man. So now it's four players. Initially, my thought, Reed Detmers was my first thought, and then Adrian DeHorta, who I think is still going to be on that 60-man player pool. That leaves me with three options between Matt Ball, J.C. Ramirez, Jake Thompson, and Brendan Lund. Those are the non-roster invitees that didn't make it onto that 60-man, but then you have to add Jeremiah Jackson and Kyron Paris, the top prospect, or some of the top prospects in the Angels system. So I think we'll touch on this a little bit later. I think you do add someone like Jeremiah Jackson just for development's sake. So I'm going to say that brings me to two. I've got two more spots. I think that J.C. Ramirez does get that opportunity, and I think that as long as I think you're splitting hairs here. I think it's either going to be Matt Ball or Jake Thompson. And Jake Thompson came on a minor league deal. Matt Ball is in the organization. So I think that if Jake Thompson isn't brought on, I think he will be released, and I think that he'll find success as a free agent. I really like Jake Thompson. I've talked about him quite a bit on the show before a few times, and I think Jake Thompson is a talent, and I think that he could have, if we were playing 162 games, I think he actually would have had a little bit of an impact on the season here for the Angels. So I'm going to say Matt Ball just for the sake of having an organization guy, but there's definitely there's a few options. So those are going to be the four that I believe. But that's my belief. I think that's kind of what I expect too, but that's purely my guess. Next one here comes from NM Baseball. He says, any idea on who will be coaching the Angels players who will be at Blair Field in Long Beach, where the Angels B team, the summer camp team, the team, the rest that don't make the 30-man roster, and then the 28 and 26. No, I don't know exactly who. I have seen that a few development staff people have gone out already and they're there. So I'm imagining you're going to see probably upper level minor league coaches as well as development staff. A lot of your development staff and higher ups and when it comes to the baseball operations department likely will be in Long Beach with the rest of the players there. Next one here comes from Matt Swift at SwiftNNH. Matt, you from New Hampshire, man? I like the NH part there. I wonder if that's what it is. Matt asks, other than the 60-player pool, will players in the Angels system have any organized workouts or simulated games at all? So there is a problem with this that's not necessarily Angels-specific, is Major League Baseball has shut down all the facilities, the spring facilities that the teams have, because a lot of players did test positive for COVID. The Angels actually did have two players that tested positive for COVID. But most of this was in Florida, and they shut down these facilities. So organized workouts may be a challenge based on Major League Baseball's decision here. You know, every player has the opportunity to self-develop, and that's not the way that you want to see things go. But it does sound like that is kind of going to be how the season goes, is a lot of self-development and these organized workouts. I mean, you know, if you work within the same, or you live within the same proximity of other players, you could probably try and do a small workout. But that's a, you know, that's a challenging thing to get a group of guys together for. If player X lives in New York and player B plays in California, that's going to be hard for them to find a workout together. So it'll be interesting. It kind of does lead to the next question from Harry Van Leer from NZLAA affiliate, my boy from New Zealand. What's up, Harry? He says, hi, Taylor. Hey, Harry. He says, which minor leaguer's growth will be stunted the most by a lost season? The first group that comes to mind is kids in the low minors. And when I say kids, I literally mean kids. You know, there are some 16 to 19 year olds that are dominant in the low minors, and getting them reps in professional baseball is such an important thing to get them to advance towards single A and even an advanced rookie ball, which we probably won't see anymore with Orem going down. But you know, those are the kids that come to mind, and I want to say this without being insensitive, but you have a lot of kids that come from international backgrounds that some of them, I think of Kevin Maiton, who noted early in his career when he was with Atlanta, it was the first time he'd ever played under lights. He'd only played by daylight or by like car street light at night. So some of these kids have to adapt to not just professional baseball, but American culture. And sadly, that is something you forget about, the mental aspect and the personal aspect. Sometimes these kids have to adapt to the culture. And for an international kid, right now, America is not its culture with COVID-19 going on. This is not the standard culture. So if one of these international kids is here in America right now, they're adapting to definitely the wrong culture at the moment. So like I said, I don't want to be insensitive, but for someone that isn't necessarily American, doesn't understand these things, not only are they having to deal with baseball being a lack of an item that they're dealing with and professional baseball and reps that they need to get on the field, but also just life in general. So those are the first kids that come to mind. And I really hope that wasn't coming off insensitive, because I really do cherish the Latin American kids. I think that they're special players. I really enjoy my conversations with them. You know, I learned Spanish essentially so that I could speak to players, and in time, you know, I learned Spanish for other reasons, but being able to speak to these guys in their native tongue, it's so much fun to be able to chat with these guys, and they love baseball, and I really enjoy my time with them. So I hope that they are able to develop, self-develop. I hope that they're home safe, and this is going to be a weird baseball season, really weird, and we're going to see the impact, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not a year from now, but maybe 5 years down the road. We'll see the actual impact that COVID-19 has had on baseball. We have to move on for time restraints and pick up a little bit here. So this is a dual-part question from Paulius Case, and the Halo Way says, any word on how Chris Rodriguez's rehab has gone? He seems to have all the pitches and location, just never been able to stay healthy. And the Halo Way asks, if he can stay healthy, do you think Chris Rodriguez makes an impact on the Angels 2020 season? So kind of to note both, yes, Chris Rodriguez is healthy. His rehab went well. He was showing some premier stuff, the stuff that we saw last year in High A during his short stint while healthy in 2019. He was showing that in spring training and in bullpen sessions. So, yeah, he's doing okay. And all the pitches and location, he definitely has the pitches. And his command is pretty advanced. I don't know about Major League ready, but very advanced. His stuff is Major League ready. Impact on the Angels 2020 season, I think he's just behind everyone on the depth charts. But for him, if suddenly he can find that precision command that and his command becomes more advanced and more advanced, I'd rather have that stuff in the bullpen than, I mean, respectfully, a lot of the guys that are ahead of him in the depth chart. So, yes, I think that there is a chance he makes an impact on the Angels 2020 season. It may be very late in those final 60 games. But, yeah, Chris Rodriguez, especially out of the bullpen, could be a real weapon. And whether that's this year, next year, or the year after is to be seen. But there's definitely a chance, and he's got some good stuff, man. Ryan has the next question here at 16 Decker. It's the million-dollar question. Will Joe Adell play for the Halos this year? So, yeah, I think so. And this question is brought up literally once a week. I mean, without the mailbag. So Joe Adell, obviously, the thing with him, he only has 131 plate appearances in AAA. You'd like to see him have more. But here's the deal. 60-game season, we're going to have a new CBA where service time manipulation is probably going to be eliminated. Joe Adell, if he is the best option in a 60-game season, you're going to play him regardless. So if he beats out Brian Goodwin in summer camp or he beats out whoever it is, yes, I do expect that we see Joe Adell in the majors this year. Whether that is to start the year or end the year, I think is up in the air, but I do think we will see him this year. One last one here for the first segment comes from Matthew Yabuki. Also a note, Matt sent us an email. My emails have been a little bit wonky. I've got one from Matthew Narlinger as well. So if you're sending emails and I don't reply, I have replied. They're just not sending. So just a note for that. But Matt Yabuki asked, what are the chances that we see both Reed Detmers and Adam Seminaris called up if the Angels are fighting for a playoff spot this year? They both sound pretty polished and potentially higher upside than guys like Jaime Barria, Jose Suarez, Dylan Peters, etc. What do you think? P.S. Can we look forward to an uncensored podcast on Rob Manfred? I'll start with that second part there, Matt. I don't use a lot of profanity in my life, and also I found out that we have kids that listen to the show. So uncensored, no, we will not have an uncensored show in the near future. Definitely, if there was going to be a reason, it probably would be Rob Manfred, right? So back to Reed Detmers and Adam Seminaris. I don't think Adam Seminaris is just there yet. Obviously, a very advanced arm as a college arm, but I don't think he's there when it comes to becoming a major league talent. Reed Detmers, I think that he is a guy that you have a chance at. Now, Reed Detmers, if this was a regular year, he probably would be shut down and then would be starting next year in high A, which still might be the plan. But the fact that he is so advanced and you could maybe use him in the bullpen, and you're not worrying about development just, I mean, you are worried about development, but not necessarily long-term development, over the next 3-4 months here, and you're focusing on him, you could work on having him work in a relief role and have him up this year. I think there are better options, but I do like the idea of having Reed Detmers on this taxi squad or player pool or whatever. But Adam Seminaris, I think I'm just going to hold off on. I think he will be present, though, because he is working out of Long Beach. So I think that even if he's not on that player pool, I think he will be able to develop a little bit because I think he'll be in the Long Beach area working with some of these guys. So that'll be interesting to monitor. We'll take more of your questions in the Saga segment. Before we do anything, a reminder, today's show is brought to you by Postmates. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Postmates, where you been the last few months? Postmates has been keeping us alive. They've been delivering food to our door. Postmates can bring you something as simple as milk, or they can bring you bread, or they can bring you a burger, they can bring you a steak, they can bring you a six-pack of beer. They can bring you all kinds of different things. I think I use Postmates once a week, so check them out. Download the Postmates app and use code LOCKEDON. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free restaurant delivery credit for your first week. I'm telling you, you want Outback Steakhouse, you want BJ's Restaurant, you want Applebee's, whatever it is, $100 of free restaurant delivery credit for your first week. You could eat twice at your favorite restaurant over the week for a meal for two people. I mean, I think my last bill at a restaurant for my wife and myself was $40, so we could eat there twice over the week with this $100 of free restaurant delivery credit. So go ahead, check it out. Download the Postmates app, use code LOCKEDON, you'll get $100 of free restaurant delivery credit for your first 7 days.
Welcome back to Locked On Angels. I'm Jason J.D. Hernandez, just across Cotillo with Locked On Anaheim Ducks. And now here's your host, Taylor Blake Ward. Vámonos!
I'm getting some dirty looks. I don't know if it's because I'm recording the podcast or because I have my face mask up on my forehead like a headband. either way, how about that for a transition into the second segment? This is Locked On Angels, and you're locked to it, Taylor Blake Ward. We are doing our fan mailbag here on Thursday, so let's just dive right into your questions. We went a little overtime in the first segment, so got to shave some time off here in the second segment. We're going to lead off with this question here from Michael Del Taco at Monster_Insomni. Either way, Michael Del Taco, I like that. He says, with Taylor Ward being drafted as a catcher, do you think there would ever be a chance of him catching a few games? I don't feel like the Angels have had many offensive-minded catchers in recent years, maybe Napoli and possibly Bandy, and surely having extra pop is never a bad thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think when it comes to catchers, having them be offensive friendly or offensive minded is a plus. But with catching, I mean, maybe your opinion differs from mine, Michael, but I want my catchers to be defensive wizards. I mean, I'm a huge defensive catcher guy. That said, Taylor Ward being a catcher, I think that ship has sailed. I think the only chance you'd see him as a catcher is in an emergency scenario where maybe Jason Castro and Anthony Benboom and Max Stassi all go down at the same time, which you never want that to happen. But I think that may be the only opportunity you may see of Taylor Ward being a catcher again. He'll probably be your emergency catcher, your third, fourth string guy. So I don't think that ship has sailed, I think, with the Angels. I know there are some teams that really do like Taylor Ward as a catcher, so I'm not going to rule it out for the future of him being a catcher, but I think with the Angels, I think that ship has sailed. Next question comes from Big League Chewing at ChewingCast. Says, what will Luis Ranjifo's role be this season? Purely depth, seems like a crowded infield. It does seem like a crowded infield, doesn't it? You got Tommy La Stella, Anthony Rendon, David Fletcher, and Andrelton Simmons. Luis Ranjifo, it's going to be hard getting him playing time. I think you're going to see him in a super utility role, though. There is a lot of value in Luis Ranjifo. Switch hitting guy who can play shortstop. There's not a lot of those in the league. And I think that Luis Ranjifo's value may be undervalued. I think he may be undervalued even by Angels people. So I think you're going to see him get a fair amount of games, but I think you're going to see it across multiple positions. And I think late in games you're going to see him because he's got some speed, too. He's a pretty fast kid. I wouldn't be surprised if he was one of those runners at second base to start the extra inning games, depending on how many the Angels play. Next question here comes from at HaloFan02. And just to note that this is out of curiosity and not to be insensitive, HaloFan02 wanted to note that they asked, do we know if the MLB or Angels will impose a quarantine for Trout's time away for the birth of his child? So, yeah, there will be a quarantine set. I don't know the exact timeline. If I can take a guess, which I usually don't take guesses, but I have heard 2 weeks after leaving and 2 weeks before coming back. That is what I have heard. But yes, Mike Trout will, to my knowledge, he is supposed to, I think his first child is supposed to come sometime in August. That's to my knowledge. I could probably look back and get some fairly exact dates roughly on that, but I believe August. So it does seem that Mike Trout may miss 2 weeks at a minimum due to quarantine after the birth of his child. And I don't think it is insensitive. I think there is sincere curiosity. You don't want to see Mike Trout miss time playing for baseball reasons, and especially as an Angels fan for winning reasons. But I think everyone thoroughly understands that Mike Trout is going to leave to see the birth of his first child. And I don't think anyone's going to – I don't think anyone's going to be critical, but there's going to be some idiots out there that are very critical of this. But I do think the mass majority are going to understand that Mike is going to be with Jessica and that they are going to enjoy the birth of their first child together. And, you know, when that happens, we're all definitely going to congratulate Mike and Jessica on that. That's a great – it's great news. That's the one good news that you actually want to hear is the birth of a healthy child for people that are very, very good people in general, both Jessica and Mike. Next question here comes from Dylan Bindy Stan account. I always mess that up. At Griff Canning, please. They say, hey, Taylor. Hey, buddy. Big fan of your work, longtime listener, and longtime question asker. Yes, you are. Yeah, I appreciate that. Do you think if we actually get a season, the trade market will be more or less active, and what does that mean for a fringe playoff team like the Angels at the window? There are two reasons I think we're going to see a much less active market is players that are rentals with their contracts ending at the end of the year, you're getting them for a really small amount of games. I mean, you know, with the July trade deadline, you still get them for about 60 games, which is about the full season of what we're playing here. You're going to get them for less than that, so you're not going to trade as much for that rental, and teams may feel like they have an opportunity to win with such a short season that they may not be willing to part with the players that are going to be upcoming free agents. Another item is you can only trade within your 60-player pool. You can only use those 60 players to make a trade. That's opposed to having 200, 300 players in your organization that are accessible to trade. So it's going to be very different. I think that this is going to be a very small trade market. I could be dead wrong. What it means for teams that are on the fringes of the playoffs is, you know, maybe you go all in just to make the playoffs. I don't know. I don't think a team's going to do that. Like I said, could be wrong, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's going to be a very soft trade market this year. Next question comes from Scott Heathcote at S. Heathcote. What's up, Scott? He says, I'm sure you've discussed this before, but in celebrating the Negro League's 100th anniversary, what is your favorite team and who is the player you'd most have wanted to see? I'll take the Homestead Grays and Cool Papa Bell. So I've never discussed this before. The Negro Leagues are celebrating their 100th anniversary. I'm sure you've seen across social media and other platforms, people tipping their cap to the Negro Leagues, which is fantastic. I think that I would have loved to have seen those games. And I wish I was alive during that time. Of course, without the racial separation that was occurring then and sadly sometimes now as well. As for the player I'd have most wanted to see, Josh Gibson. No doubt. I mean, if what we've heard about him is true, that's one of the greatest players in the history of the game. I would have loved to have seen him. As for my favorite team, Kansas City Monarchs, baby. How could it not be the Kansas City Monarchs? Come on. During my childhood, Kenny DeNunez, man. He had that KC hat. You kidding me? Everybody wanted that. Everybody wanted to be cool like Kenny DeNunez with that backwards Kansas City Monarchs hat. I'm all for it, man. Appreciate the question, Scott. Always good chatting with you, my friend. Next question comes from another buddy of the show, Rahul Seti. He says, your thoughts on Ian Desmond's latest Instagram post. If you're unfamiliar with this, I recommend going to the post itself. If you are on Instagram, and I'm pulling up, check out I_DEZ20. That is Ian Desmond's Instagram account. There's a lot to take away from this. It's about 9 pages or pictures where he is expressing his feelings towards what is going on in the world, among a lot of things. The key takeaways are that baseball isn't necessarily affordable for everyone, and you're taking away baseball for all, but only for baseball for people who can afford it. He touches on minority issues in regards to Major League Baseball and the Players Association battling, which only brings more negativity to the game. Ian closes out saying that he's taking the season off for family reasons, talks about a childhood friend of his, Antoine, who lived in poverty and had to deal with serious struggles while baseball was his outlet away from the real life struggles of living in a poverty stricken region. And sadly, Antoine was killed, as noted by Ian in the post. I do tend to agree that sometimes baseball is unaffordable and travel ball is the only reason. I mean, this has been something that a lot of people have talked about for some time. But I think the fact that Ian was able to be honest and open about this and talking about some of the minority issues within the game is very important. I'm not going to share political opinions. I never will. There are definitely some expressions that are made by Ian that touch on some of the things that we need to focus on in creating a better environment for baseball for the youth. And I think that's very important, is that we bring baseball to the youth. I mean, we've been pushing this for a long time. And hopefully, you know, I don't think Ian's just using his words. I think he plans on using actions as well beyond this. But at the same time, it's something that we all have to act on and help baseball at the youth levels to create not just baseball for who can afford it, but baseball for all. I really think that you could spend a lot of time on that. And I just don't know that I have the information in front of me to give you an honest answer. But one thing I will say above everything else is that being able to see someone of Ian Desmond's caliber who feels so strongly about this, to see an open and honest conversation, I think is a very important note. And to be honest and have that honest and open factor to open up open up the conversation, I think is really what Ian has done. And I really appreciate that Ian is making a push to bring baseball to all and not just those who can afford it. One last question here. It comes from Jason Jordan from the United Kingdom. What's up, buddy? I saw your email. I got really excited. So like we said, if you want to email your questions to the show, you can do so. We'll touch on that after I get to Jason's question here. He says, looking ahead to next year, should there be no second wave, what do you think we can expect regarding spring training? The reason Jason is asking is he had a plan to come out to spring training. He sent me an email about this. He was going to come out to spring training with some of his buddies and couldn't make it out because of COVID. So Jason, I hope for your sake and for others' sakes that we are able to not have a second wave and be able to go about baseball in the proper direction. Right now, the plan with, you know, full health and full, you know, no COVID, all these things, the plan for 2021 is 162 games, full spring training, full set of deals. And man, I sure hope that we don't have a second wave that ruins that. It would be so terrible if we had to re-go through all these junky negotiations between the players and owners and then head into a CBA after that. You kidding me? So I hope for your sake that you're able to travel to Arizona, go check out some spring training next March, and I hope that we get to meet up and I'll introduce myself. We'll have some fun there, Jason. And I hope that everyone listening in, I hope we get 162 games next year. I hope we get a full season. I hope everybody's healthy. I hope that it all plays out the right way. And I cannot wait for that. I can't wait for this thing to pass. I'm so sick of I've been telling people, I'm sick of the sickness. It's so dumb. I hate it, man. So, hey, thanks to everybody for your questions. That's going to put a wrap on today's show. Always appreciate the questions. If you want to be a part of next week's mailbag, make sure you follow us on Twitter at LockedOnAngels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. Look for that tweet on Monday night saying, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight. Best ones make the show on Wednesday. And pending next week's schedule, I believe it will be Wednesday. Also, you can email your questions to the show by sending them to TaylorBlakeWard@yahoo.com. As a reminder, if you want to download today's show or subscribe to Locked On Angels, you can do so via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever podcasting outlet you're using to listen to today's show. And once you're finished listening to Locked On Angels, tell your smart device, whether it be, hey Siri, hey Alexa, hey Google, whatever it is, play Locked On MLB. You'll be joined by my friend Sully on the National Show here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks again for tuning in, and thanks as always for your questions. For Locked On Angels, I'm Taylor Blake Ward, reminding you to dot your I's, cross your T's, stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you tomorrow.